Professor Kirsten Holmes from Curtin School of Management and Marketing joins us this morning to discuss the financial benefits and impacts of the Paralympics. Thanks for joining me on The Record this morning.
Thank you, Fiona.
So what are the financial challenges of hosting the Paralympic Games alongside the Olympics?
Well, both the Olympics and Paralympics come as a package. So whoever hosts them has to host them both. So it does make it quite hard to unpack the differences in hosting the two. And particularly as, you know, a lot of the changes that are put into place, any new venues. And in the case of Paris, there were three new venues built, including the Athletes Village, which compared to most Olympic Games is a very small number of new venues. But all of that infrastructure is put in place for both the Olympics and the Paralympic Games. So it's quite hard to unpack the differences. But as you noted, there have been some infrastructure investments across the city, particularly to make the transport network more accessible.
Yeah, I read that Paris spent a large amount repairing damaged roads, improving road crossings, and they even made 59 out of its 61 bus lines fully accessible. Can you tell us a little bit more about this investment?
Well, I think this is a really important part of the legacy of the Paralympic Games. You know, Paris is the most visited city in the world. It hosts huge numbers of international visitors. And this has been an opportunity for both its resident population, but also for future tourists to showcase that it's an accessible city. It's very known as a walkable city, but it's good to see that it's, you know, accessible for people with all sorts of, you know, mobility challenges. It was interesting, though, because there was an article in the news where some of their train lines aren't actually accessible, and they've had to admit that that's been a bit of a problem to try and overcome.
But like you were saying, for the long-term impacts for the host city, Paris, and everyone who lives there or comes and visits, I can imagine it's quite an important long-term impact with all of these important changes.
Well, it is. And it's interesting because as Paris, as a Western city, like many other Western cities, has an aging population. So increasing mobility and accessibility is going to be really important for the residents. And I think that because they haven't built as many venues, it's those kinds of legacies that are going to be more valuable and in demonstrating that Paris is a very modern, forward-looking city as well.
And you mentioned that the economics of Paralympics are often intertwined with the Olympics because it is a package deal. Is it possible to look at them separately, or is it too closely tied to be able to fully split them apart?
Well, you could pull apart some of those specific changes put in place. The Athletes Village was completely sort of overhauled in between hosting the Olympics and hosting the Paralympics to ensure that it was fully accessible. You know, there were athletes from the Olympics talking about how they'd had to take the door off their room so that friends with wheelchairs could enter the room. So clearly there were some issues there. You know, they had to do things like making sure that in the dining room all the counters were at an appropriate height if you had people in wheelchairs. So we can pick apart some specific expenses, but overall, a lot of it, you know, a major legacy of the Olympic and Paralympic Games was the cleaning up the Seine so that they could hold swimming events in, you know, they could hold the triathlon there. And that's a huge legacy for the city. So it's very hard to kind of unpack that. It is quite hard to unpack the different costs.
You're listening to On The Record. We're joined by Professor Kirsten Holmes, and we're discussing the economic impact of the Paralympics. Now, a recent study from the University of Oxford suggested that the combined cost of the 2024 Games was about 115% overrun, but they did repurpose and do a lot of things to try and reduce that cost. Can you tell us about the cost-saving measures they adopted?
Yes, so this is all part of the International Olympic Committee's new norm. It, increasingly, there's only a small number of really international cities in the world that are capable of hosting events on the scale of the Olympic and Paralympic Games. And there's obviously there's been a lot of criticism about the costs involved and could they have been spent on things for the residents, for example. So the new norm was introduced by the IOC to try and make the Games more sustainable, to address these criticisms. And Paris has fully embraced that. I think one of the key elements is all their temporary venues. A lot of the public spaces and public areas around Paris, they've created temporary venues rather than building new venues, which often ended up being white elephants. They focus very much on sustainability. A lot of elements in the Athletes' Village were designed to try and be more sustainable. So they were using local food. They didn't have any air conditioning, and then it became too hot, so a lot of the teams brought their own air conditioners in. But they tried very hard to be sustainable and to sort of really think about the benefit to the city and to showcase, use the opportunity to use these temporary venues as well to showcase the city.
And I can imagine that this kind of mindset and work towards reducing costs and being more sustainable is something that will continue over future years with future cities.
Oh, yes. I mean, this is one of the first Olympic Games that's really been hosted under the new norm. So we're going to see, you know, obviously the next one's coming up. We've got Northern Italy hosting the Winter Olympics. We've got Los Angeles, and then looking forward to Brisbane in 2032. And, you know, the Queensland government, a lot of their Olympic plans are focused around transport. Another key element, which is quite new, which is new under the new norm, is being able to host the Olympics across multiple sites. So while most of the events are taking place in Paris, you know, we've seen the equestrian events taking place in Versailles, we've seen the water sports taking place at Specialist Centre, and for the Olympic Games, of course, they have the surfing in Tahiti. So seeing that spread across, and that's part of the Queensland government's plans for the 2032 Olympics, is although Brisbane is the host, they'll be on the Gold Coast, they'll be a little bit further north. So by spreading it out, it's making it more viable. And it's also an opportunity to try and bring some of that economic benefit to a broader community.
Now, going back to the Paralympics, I read over 2 million tickets were sold, and some people are speculating it could make Paralympic history. How do you think the evolving media landscape has influenced the profile of Paralympic sports?
Oh, it's been really interesting seeing the media coverage, because there's always been a focus with the Olympics. It's, you know, the focus is on the athletes' achievements they've won, similar with the Paralympics. But then there's always been this, the stories around the athletes' disabilities, and a bit more of a focus on that rather than on their performance. And these are the elite athletes. You know, they might be para-athletes, but they're still the elite athletes in their field. And there's often been a sort of idea about, oh, let's be inclusive, let's talk about how wonderful it is for people to participate. But they're not there to participate, they're there to win. You know, they've been training for years to win. So there's been a real shift in the way the media portrays para-athletes, and that's been really pushed by the Paralympic Association with a social media campaign to promote that it's not about participating, it's about competing and emphasising their achievements. So that's been really positive to see. And also the increased television coverage as well. You know, it's the most television coverage of this Paralympic Games, of any Paralympic Games. I think it's fantastic to really showcase our athletes.
Yeah, I was going to say the televising of all of the sports, you can almost tune into every single thing that is happening, is really quite impressive and really helps share, like you were saying, just how amazing our athletes are.
Oh, that's right. If we look at the sort of medal tally for Australia, it's extremely impressive. We only have 160 or so athletes compared to 460 who are at the Olympic Games. So it's a relatively small team, and yet they've done phenomenally well with the medals. So I think that, you know, Channel 9's coverage, having the sort of equal level coverage, or more or less equal level coverage for both events, I think has been really valuable.
This morning we've been talking all about the 2024 Paralympic Games and its financial costs and legacy benefits of hosting the Games. Before we let you go, what are the potential economic legacies for Paris as the result of hosting the Paralympics?
Well, it's very interesting seeing Paris hosting the Games, because often it's talked about tourism is going to be one of the big benefits. But Paris is the most visited city, so they don't really need more tourists. But what it's done is really showcase the city as a world city. And I think if we think about the sort of geopolitical situation at the moment, so it's sort of demonstrating that Paris is a world leader here, and France as a world leader. So those economic benefits are really going to be very broad and tied up to the political situation as well.
Well, Professor Holmes, thank you so much for joining me on The Record this morning and having a chat about the Paralympic Games and its benefits.
It's my pleasure. Thank you, Fiona.
Thank you so much. That was